You're listening to Talk of the Rock. And here we have with us a few people who have gotten involved in the organization of upcoming festival celebrating Scandinavian culture and heritage. Why don't you guys go ahead and go around and introduce yourselves?
I'm Mike Rosted, and I'm the chairman of this event.
I'm Jim Diller, and I'll be hosting two events during the week of the festival.
And I'm Stefan Quint, and I'll be showing some movies during the week next week.
And Katie Baxter from Kodiak Public Library, and we're a community partner with the Sons of Norway, and we have lined up several events celebrating the heritage and various collections.
So before we get into what's on the schedule, because there is a lot, why don't we just start with why you guys are putting together the event?
I think I can speak to that. I've known Stefan Quint since 1988 when he looked me up because he wanted to get a hold of Larry Matfey, an elder in Old Harbor that I was writing a book about, and Stefan wanted to interview him for a film. So Stefan came to Kodiak just about every summer, and we got to know his family, and his sons have fished here, and they're just like family to us. But it was about 3 or 4 years ago, I think, wasn't it, that I suggested, you know, we need to get these movies that you're taking, all these interviews you're doing with people around the island, you know, out to the public for a festival.
And I think it's more like 15 years ago, Mike.
But I think we really got serious a few years ago in our dining room when we said, okay, I was just thinking about movies, but Stefan said, well, if you're going to have a film festival, you have to have other things. And those other things have turned out, because thanks to Katie Baxter and Jim and others in the community, is turning out to be a really big part of this upcoming festival.
And I think people are very familiar with the Russian-American culture on the island, but maybe just a little less familiar with the Scandinavian roots. Could you talk a little bit about some of that aspect?
Well, I can. I have traveled around the island many times, and I've interviewed people in all the villages. And so many of the native people here in Kodiak have Scandinavian roots. And they always ask me, they're always curious. My father, my grandfather came to Kodiak 100 years ago, and I know nothing about the old country. And I asked them, why not? Well, they never told us anything about Scandinavia. And it was like they were hiding something. They were running away from something. It could have been poverty. It could have been maybe they stole the neighbor's chicken, and they had to run away because that was a pretty serious crime 100 years ago or 120 years ago. So it's interesting that there are so many Scandinavians here. And like the phone book we were talking about, when I first came to Kodiak almost 30 years ago now, I was looking for people to Bill Burton was one person I wanted to meet and work with. And I was opening the phone book. It wasn't very big at the time. And it was all these Andersons and Carlsons and you name it, Hawkinsons. And I thought, my goodness, that's interesting. All these native Alaskans have these Scandinavian names. And that was the first time I realized that there is something here that might be interesting to look into. And that's when I met Mike Rostad, that he told me, you don't know? You know, a lot of these people came from Scandinavia.
And so when we say Scandinavia, what countries does that include?
Well, I would say it's Norway, Sweden, and Denmark, but also Finland. Finland has a big population of Swedes. Finland used to belong to Sweden, and then a lot of Swedes moved there. And so even though Finland is not really part of Scandinavia, but they're part of the Nordic countries, which is includes also Iceland.
And you're from Sweden?
I was born in Sweden, yes.
Are you familiar with which of those countries many Kodiak people's families come from, or is it more of a regional thing?
I think that most of people here in Kodiak with Scandinavian roots, they have parents or fathers. There was only men that came to Kodiak that I know of. They are either from Sweden or Norway, a few from Denmark, a few from Finland, but mostly Sweden and Norway, I think.
And you were mentioning before that you've had the chance to speak to a lot of people about their stories and their family stories. Could you talk a little bit about some of the stories you've encountered while you've been here?
Wow. It's hard to pick, but one that I think is so wonderful is Jerry Johnson down in Yak Bay. He came to Kodiak. Well, his father came to Kodiak. He came as a young man. I think he was 14 years old when he came to Alaska, to the United States. And he got a job for Al Capone in Chicago. He was a wonderful mechanic. And Jerry said that my father could put his hand on the fender of the car, and just from the vibrations, he could tell what was wrong with the car. So every time Al Capone was leaving his dungeons, you know, he was in the basement, all his cars were in the basement. And every time before he left, Jerry's father had to go through the car, make sure it worked, because he didn't want to get stuck someplace in the middle of Chicago. He wanted the cars to work. And same thing, every time he came back, he had to go through the car again, make sure it was in good shape. And of course, when Al Capone was captured, Jerry's father ended up somewhere where, I don't know if that was on purpose, but he ended up in the village on Kodiak. And he has many fun stories in one of the movies that we are showing next week.
Could you describe these movies? Are they short? Are they long? Are they focusing on one story or many?
There are many stories. They're kind of short stories, many short stories in each documentary. I would say there are between 5, 6 to 10 different stories in each movie, and they are around an hour each. And I think we're going to show 6 maybe next week.
Is there a theme in particular?
Well, there are three that are... I interviewed people with Scandinavian roots. Then we have one that is just Voices of Kodiak, which is people that has no Scandinavian background but are, you know, have great stories. And then we have one about the event in 1964, the earthquake and what happened. And then there are actually a couple of shorter movies too. We'll see. We'll show those at different times next week.
What day is that? Because I have a schedule in front of me, and it's a...
It's a lot of information there. It begins officially on, Katie might want to talk about the pre-show concert on Sunday at the library.
Sure. So, prior to Stefan's films being shown, and I think we should get back to what that schedule will look like since it is a film festival, but on Sunday, the library is hosting a Sunday Sounds concert with Ross Sutter. Ross and his friends will be playing various Scandinavian folk tunes and traditional songs in the library multipurpose room, which is the usual setting for our Sunday Sounds concerts. The twist, this particular festival is we are transforming the multipurpose room into a Norwegian coffee house. Monk's Rock is helping us with that, and Jim Dillard has been very helpful in sharing ideas regarding Norwegian hospitality. So we really want to bring a taste of Scandinavian culture and welcome to all the people of Kodiak, and this Sunday Sounds concert will be one terrific way to do that. Ross is coming from Minnesota.
Right. Right.
And he is someone who has been featured on Prairie Home Companion. He's renowned around the globe as a musician with that Scandinavian style.
Oh, he is a lot of fun. And his friend Art, he's a comedian. They are wonderful people. I've known them for many years, and you love them.
And I'm curious, what is Norwegian hospitality? Do you know anything about that?
So, as I understand it, much like when we visit European countries and we enter a home or a coffee house, there's just a genuine welcome to come and sit, spend time, put away the cell phones and the electronic devices, pour a steaming cup of coffee, have a typical biscuit or cookie, and enjoy stories of family travels. And we are celebrating the flavors, so the Monk's Rock is developing a blend of coffee bean for us. We're thinking about adding the cinnamon and the cardamom, and then celebrating the shortbread and the ginger snaps. Just a little small taste. And there will be exhibits throughout the multipurpose room of Scandinavian authors and various objects from the culture.
Very cool.
Family tree information as well, because the library is helping these families with their genealogical research.
Growing up in Minnesota in a rural area, Scandinavian hospitality was just part of the farming community. My mother not only served breakfast, lunch, as we called it, and supper, which is a dinner we call up here, but also there were the coffee at 10 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So people from Minnesota will always kind of joke about that, like, we're going to have a little lunch. And it was just, you always, my mom always had cookies, and we'll be serving these kind of cookies, Norwegian. And the main ingredients in Scandinavian pastries and cookies, and maybe I'm wrong, Stefan, but from what I could tell, is sugar, butter, eggs, and flour, maybe a little vanilla. And lately we've been preparing for a bake sale that Sons of Norway, which is the main sponsor of the event, that we'll be having at the auditorium on Thursday, a week from this Thursday, and there's going to be a lot of those Norwegian delicacies there.
Oh, that's interesting. And I also noticed there was some other kind of food that was listed. There's going to be a cooking exhibit.
Yes, yes. Good observation, Kayla. You're noticing the important things regarding the food. We have Betsy Lund coming to do a demonstration of the making of a traditional potato flatbread, the lefse, as I understand.
Lefse.
I'm learning my pronunciations, which is great fun as we explore cultures. It's just a nice opportunity to get at the details of language and traditions. And so the cooking demonstration will be taking place on Monday, November 6th, from 2:30 to 5 p.m. at the public library. And we'll also be promoting other Scandinavian cookbooks and recipes because, again, delving into collection is so much fun. And we have these things at our fingertips at the library so people can explore long after the week is over.
And on Monday, November 6th, that evening, 7 o'clock at the Afognak Center, we will be having our opening ceremony. And part of that will be an official welcome by somebody from the Aleutic community who will just welcome the Scandinavian visitors, guests, as they did, obviously, in years past, because we have a lot of families here that have Scandinavian blood, and obviously they were welcomed. And I remember Lucille Davis, one of the elders in the village of Karlik, had said that we adopted the Scandinavians in our community. Those were the first white men that came to our village, and they became a part of our village. Obviously, you know, they married some of the people there. So that first night is going to be very special. And we're trying to have music. We'll have music as well from Ross and Art and Char and Bruce Bostrom, who Bruce is a doctor in Minneapolis. And he actually went to school with one of our Kodiak doctors. Anyway, they'll be playing the fiddle and doing dances. So along with the films on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday, and other times, there will be also some music.
And what is typical for Scandinavian music? What kind of instruments tend to be in those bands?
Well, I would say the violin is very common. I think that's the most common Scandinavian instrument. They have these bands that play only violins. And I think that that's what we will see most of next week.
When are your films going to be screening?
Well, we are working on the schedule still, I think.
Oh.
It's Monday, 7 o'clock at the Afognak Center. That's our opening night. And the next night at the Kodiak Baptist Mission at 7 o'clock. On Thursday at the auditorium at 7 o'clock. On Wednesday, we have a real special treat, and maybe Jim can tell us about it, but it's going to be a lecture that's going to probably shake a few people up.
Possibly. On Wednesday, November the 8th at the Bronhoff Museum, 7 p.m., I will be making a presentation that will attempt to prove that The museum building, the what is now the Bronhoff Museum, was actually built by Finnish craftsmen, and which is, I imagine, a controversial notion, because even in the Russian-American records, there is no mention of those Finnish craftsmen until half century later. But I think we have enough documentary evidence, and I have several pieces of physical evidence that I will present, trying to show that the building was not, in fact, built by Russian workers, but by Finns instead. And so at least it will be interesting and fun to see the reaction to that.
And Jim also will be hosting a participation on Saturday at the Baptist Mission. I think it's from 1 to 4. And maybe he'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Well, all Scandinavian countries for quite a long time and very much into current times are very proud of their outdoor heritage. And a part of that is that in those countries you will see them practicing the forestry skills of their ancestors. And so as a part of that, we're going to give the public an opportunity to try a good old-fashioned crosscut saw. And this will be an event where two people will have to, the saw takes two folks, and there will be a person on each end of the saw. And it is not as easy as it looks. And the two individuals running the saw must cooperate completely. And because of that, we end up usually having lots of laughter and applause as people attempt and succeed or fail.
Is there a trick to operating the saw?
Yes, and what I will do is before each pair of folks try to cut a slab off the log that we will have there, is I will do a little bit of coaching, and I will give them instruction, and then we'll see what happens.
Turning them loose on the poor trees with their newbie skills should be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see.
On Friday, we're planning to have an international potluck, because I think Scandinavian people, and we don't have the monopoly on this, but have always embraced other cultures and welcomed them. And so we're just inviting those from other cultures in town, such as the Hispanic, Filipino, Samoan, and others, Irish, to come and bring some samples of their food and their music. So that should be a lot of fun, and that also will be at the Afognak Center on 6 o'clock on Friday. Also, there's a big Sami exhibit, right, that'll be at the Baranoff, and I think there's some things between the library and the Baranoff. We'll be hearing more about the Sami people, and I wish Lois Stover could have been here, because she is, her parents, her mother came from what was called Lapland, but that is derogatory, so they call it Finnmark, I think, but these people were brought here by Sheldon Jackson in the late 1800s and early part of the 20th century to teach the Yupik and Inupiat native peoples how to raise reindeer. So that will be a big part of our celebration as well.
Could you talk a little bit about the history related to Scandinavian people on the island?
The history of the reindeer? Or
Scandinavians? Oh.
Well, I'm not. I was introduced to this whole phenomenon when I went to Old Harbor in 1980. Sven Hawkinson Sr. was the mayor then, and he wanted a writer. I was working for the Kodiak Times, a weekly newspaper, and he wanted somebody to come down and do a story about a Russian Orthodox wedding, and which I had never seen before, and it's very, very impressive. But, of course, he started talking about his dad, Art Hawkinson Sr. from Denmark, and his wife Mary's dad, Rolf Christensen from Norway, and how they became friends, and how they were on separate ships, and they just travel around the world, would meet up and say, hey, I remember you, and they kept on doing this, and finally they were in San Francisco and said, boy, it'd be nice to go to Alaska. Well, they just parted ways, and one came up here, and that's a whole story I think you'll see in Stefan's film. and ended up staying here working at a saltery or something by Old Harbor, and he came in for a dance one night, and there was a ship there, and his old friend Hawkinson was there. So they both married local native women and raised families. And, of course, Hawkinson's very familiar with, like, Sven Jr. was the director of the Lutik Museum for many years, now in Seattle. And then I was finding similar stories, like in Karlik, about John Oscar Norell coming and working in the old beach gangs in the early part of the 20th century. And so that it's just all over the island, as Stefan pointed out.
Yeah. So as far as the stories you found from people around the island, is there one that really stands out to you? I know it's kind of a tough question.
Oh, there are so many stories, and especially from Old Harbor, the Christiansons and the Hawkinsons. That, those are wonderful stories. I've been to Larsen Bay a number of times, and I was waiting for a flight, and I went to the cemetery. And when I came there, it said on a cross, it said, Victor Carlson, born in Sweden. And I thought, that's interesting, because I've never seen that written before. I've seen names with Scandinavian last names, but never where it said, born in Sweden. So I walked to the nearest house, and I knocked on the door, and a native lady opened the door, and I said, well, I've been to the cemetery, and I saw this cross with Victor Carlson. Do you know anything about him? He died a few years ago. And she said, he's not dead. He lives across the road here, she says. And she pointed at another house, and I said, okay, thank you very much. And I walked over to that house, and I knocked on that door, and I said, an older man came out, opened the door, and I said, I'm looking for Victor Carlson. And he said, that's me. And I said, well, I saw your name on the cross on the cemetery. And he said, well, that was my father. And he invited me to come in, and we started talking. And he was talking about his background and his story and his father. And he said he never mentioned Sweden, ever. No culture, nothing. He was never interested to teach us anything about his background. And he said, I always wanted to know something about Scandinavia. And he looked at me and he said, could you tell me something about Sweden, where my father came from? And I started to tell him things about Sweden. And after a few minutes, he started crying. And I thought, that really hit me hard. I realized that there's so much they have lost that they would like to know about their parents' background, or their grandparents mostly now. So I went to Victor many times and filmed him, and we talked around his table there. And his story is in one of the movies, of course. And well, that touched me, his story.
Did he ever explain why his father was so reluctant to share culture?
No. What we did, I got all the information. He had his father's birth certificate. And I said, I'll try to look him up and see if I can find. He knew this city. He had a city, a name of a city in Sweden, right north of Stockholm. And I said, I'll see if I can find him. You must have cousins and family in Sweden, many. He had left very early in life, his father. And so I came back to Sweden, and I looked up. The churches kept records of people, when they were born, who they were, and their parents, and when they died and everything. So it's easy to find, to trace people in Sweden. But when I came to Victor Carlson's father in that city, there was nobody born that day with that name, or even that month. Or I looked around in other cities around that area, and there was nobody with that name born with the name Victor Carlson. So what I think, what happened to other people too, when they came to the United States and came to Alaska, they came to Kodiak maybe for a reason, to get away from something. And sometimes they maybe lied about the background. And it could have been the case for Victor Carlson's father. He didn't really give them the correct information, so nobody could find him, because he never, never, ever contacted or sent letters home.
I think there's so much going on, as you can see, for this festival next week. And I think Katie could tell us about a few of the other offerings at the library. And then there will also be Ross and Art will be with the school kids, too. So it's always going to be something going on.
Yes, I really appreciate the way the festival evolved as a community celebration. Every day of the week, there's something for families, for adults. And we're really thankful to Kodiak's Society of Creative Anachronism. That group typically holds its monthly meeting at the public library and shares the knowledge of culture before the time of the Renaissance. While they are focusing on the Scandinavian traditions, they'll be at the library 3 days next week from, it will be from 2:30 to 4 p.m. Or I'm sorry, 2:30 to 6:30 p.m., definitely on Tuesday, on Thursday, and then again they're meeting on Saturday, and they're demonstrating hands-on Scandinavian games. A member of their society has carved one of the wooden boards. I won't even try to pronounce the name of the game. But people will be able to play board games in the Norwegian coffee shop. They'll learn how to do some of the knitting in the old style, and they will learn about other traditions from the Society of Creative Anachronism. That's really exciting to bring that forward to the community. And then the library will also celebrate Scandinavian authors, and we will have films based on current contemporary works. And some of our local book clubs have read A Man Called Uwe, and we're showing that film and reading that book, and we'll be promoting his other works. So lots going on, as Mike says.
Yeah, and this will hopefully be the start of many culture, not only Scandinavian, but Irish. And, of course, mm-hmm. Katie is smiling about that, and Samoan and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank Katie so much and others, too. But I'm telling you, she's just been a fabulous resource. And if it wasn't for her, we probably wouldn't have much to offer. But and Jim came along and was all excited about being in Petersburg for their Norwegian festival. And I've just been so blessed here and so thankful to people in the community, Katie Oliver and her staff at the Arts Council, the schools, the museums, and, of course, Stefan and LaVon. And I just can't begin to name everybody. But we really, this is quite an undertaking, and I hope that the people, our listeners, will take in as much as they can. I think they will find it's a time well spent. Well, yeah, it was a little awkward the way I said that, but they'll enjoy it.
Yeah, and also, if you're interested in genealogy, there's an opportunity to do a workshop,
yes.
I see.
Oh, Linda Kozak.
Yes, on Wednesday, library staff who are really passionate about genealogy will be demonstrating various research tools, and then we have members of the community, such as Linda Kozak, coming by to share their specific tips and strategies, and we want to start an Ancestry Club, so this will be a great opportunity for people to sign up if they're interested.
And so there are so many things going on, and where can you go to get the schedule?
So the library schedule will be posted on the library website, and then we've had the help of Christina at the Aleutic Museum generating
great
posters,
help.
And so I think KMXT will be getting a rundown of dates to post as well.
All right.
And we have a Facebook page and also a website, thanks to LaVon Quint and Christina Thompson for all the hard work they've done. So it's certain, and we'll be having posters around town, because it's just so much information on one poster that we'll have, different schedules out there.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us
Thanks.
Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.